You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday the 5th of April 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting live today at RadioAryan.com because we have with us the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Backdoor, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, the world-renowned film producer, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis,
nice how are you? Nice, thanks.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Good. Yeah, fine. Yeah, no problem.
I hear you've been working hard on the next episode in the documentary series, but there's been some issues with uploading it. Is that right? Are you almost there?
Well, the thing is, I've had software problems all week, which I'll get sorted eventually. So I've been certainly restricted on some things that I could normally do. They're all in text, for instance, which is proving a problem. But I managed to upload what I considered, a good part 19, and YouTube, within seconds, really, decided to, not ban it outright, but restrict it.
I'm getting all these clickings, and it's like it's clipping a little bit, Dennis. Let me just try giving you a call back, because it may be just a technical problem with the line. I'll call you right back. Okay, let's see if that's better.
Okay.
Yeah, that's sounding better. So you were saying you managed to get it uploaded and it just disappeared straight away.
Well, it didn't disappear. It was restricted, which means that I can't share it and people can't leave comments. I stand a lot, about 80 views, but there is a slight technicality which needs adjusting anyway, so I'll probably take it down and upload it again. Maybe I can get it re-uploaded to other parts. YouTube, who knows, sometimes you can get away with it. But they call it could be offensive to some people. Well, I suppose if you've been scamming the Bible for 2,000 years and suddenly it's been revealed, then you probably would be offended.
Yeah, I can't see. I think maybe they're just banning it straight away because of who it is that's put the video up, because they can't have had enough time to watch it.
No, well, yeah, that's probably true. I mean, if you're watching from the UK, I have no videos anyway. So yeah. They say.
I think you've got four up there. Have you got your cables all pushed in correctly? It's because it's just clipping for some reason.
Let me check, sir. Yep, as far as I'm aware, everything's fine.
I wonder what's causing that then. It's like it's just cutting. We'll just have to try and make do with it then, I guess. So since we can't discuss that, we will discuss it next week, and at least listeners will be aware that it will be appearing somewhere soon, so they will be able to watch it in the next 24 hours.
Yeah,
I guess.
Archive.org is usually got placement.
But we have got another video which we were going to talk about, and this was this sent in to you? Did someone send this to you to debunk?
Two people, actually, yeah. Two people, so I must be getting the debunker of videos there.
Yeah, it certainly needs debunking. I really wish we could sort this sound out, Dennis. I tell you, because it's really not very
good. Do you want to try the other mic, the actual computer mic?
Yeah, are you sure there's nothing else on the computer? It's not uploading, downloading, or anything like that?
Nothing. No, nothing.
Yeah, try the other mic.
Nobody got by today. Okay, I'll try the
other mic. Sorry about this, listeners.
Let me just disconnect this one, man.
But if I can't hear Dennis properly here, then I know you can't hear him properly there.
Okay, so how's this?
I think that might be better.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no clipping. There's no clipping. I think we've solved the problem there. Yeah, this video is called Mind-Blowing Revelations. History is written by the winners. I think that really gives us a clue, doesn't it? If that was a mind-blowing revelation to him, then I don't think we're going to have much excitement in this video, do you?
I actually left a comment saying The fact that the Soviet Union was going to end in 1941, if he ever said something like that, it'd be the first time he ever spoke any truth about Hitler anyway. And he came back and said something on the lines of like, you know, this is all idol worship, blah, 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 blah. Don't you realise there was, Israel was formed and, Germany was raped and the Bolsheviks expanded? And I kind of answered back saying, don't you think that's possibly because the Allies won the war?
He really,
so we wait to see.
I don't think he's done that much research, to be honest. I mean, this.
No, I don't.
Yeah, they're saying it sounds better, and now they're saying, yeah, now it's clipping again. I don't know what else we can do about it.
You're clipping there.
Yeah, I don't know what else we can do about it. If there's nothing, I haven't got any browser open on mine. You haven't got one open on yours. If there's nobody, there's nobody else on this line using up bandwidth. And I've tried calling you again on Skype, so there really isn't a lot we can do about it. Sorry, listeners. Hopefully, maybe it will get better.
Maybe it's external forces.
Yeah, it's just clip, clip, clip every time you speak. It like clips out a nanosecond of what you're saying.
Would you want me to phone you, try to see if that finally clears it?
We could. No, we can't do that at the moment. Yeah, can't do that at the moment, I'm afraid, Dennis. I haven't got that line set up.
Okay.
We'll just have to stay on here. Because the first bit that's in this video is, he's basically saying that Hitler is a communist. And
all his career.
Yeah, for the whole of his career. And he's basically saying that that is because he was a propaganda liaison for the military with the communists at the time who'd taken over that part of Germany. And he says because of that, he was a communist. And one of these communists, a famous one, Kurt Eisner, he died. And then Hitler was at the funeral and he was wearing a black and a red armband and he was getting on with his communists, basically. Yes, he was getting on well with the communists, but he'd been told to do that by the military. He'd been told to infiltrate and observe and watch and report back on this communist group. That was his assignment from the military. So this,
which he's ever found in SDP party.
Yeah, and that was where he first learnt about the Jews. That was where he first learnt about the communists, and it's all written about in Mein Kampf. So this.
I was going to bring Mein Kampf up, by the way. There's a lot of people there saying that they said a preacher wrote that and not Hitler. I wonder what your thoughts were on that one.
Well, I think it was Hitler that wrote it. He wrote it while he was in prison.
Exactly.
I don't think.
It seems to be the main. If anybody brings up, well, read Mein Kampf, they'll say, he didn't write that.
Well, who do they suggest did write it? Who are they suggesting did write it?
They say a priest.
A priest?
Yeah, I'm not sure his name either. That's what
they
said.
At least they're admitting.
Because it's full of Christianity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, at least they're admitting that it's a Christian book now, then, if they're claiming a priest wrote it. But surely, if it was a counterfeit Mein Kampf, he would have noticed it when it was published at the time and said, don't you think?
No, what they're saying is he knew that this priest was writing it.
Oh, right, he had a ghostwriter. I don't think that really makes that much sense. But this video maker has clearly not done very much research, because if he just thought to actually read Mein Kampf, the source material for what he's talking about, he would have read that was what Hitler did. That's where he formed his ideas, was in opposition to this. He didn't get his ideas from them. It was in opposition to them.
As soon as he mentions idol worship to me, that's a red flag straight away, because somebody saying that to me obviously has a huge dislike for Hitler, and he's probably, one of the supposedly chosen in my eyes. Because, I mean, what I did in them documentaries, especially the first one, that was the most, unbiased documentary on Hitler ever, because all the other ones were so biased against him. Well, this wasn't so biased for him. One or two people, radio broadcasters have said that this is, it's not a biased documentary, and I don't believe it is. So it's not worship, idol worship, it's just history.
Yeah, it's not biased, it's accurate. Do you want to try giving me a call back, Dennis, and we'll see whether that fixes it?
Okay, is there any problems there? Right.
Yeah, it's still clipping, yeah. Switch off okay. and give me a call back.
Mr. Clipper is back.
Mr. Clipper, yeah, let's see if that's better. So I can't tell straight away, you see, it's just once you start talking. And then it puts me off. From what
I mean, we haven't had this problem for a while, have we?
No, we haven't had it for a long time. I tell you what it could be. Windows did a really long update on my computer last night, and it's just messed all my settings up. You know, you're trying to save. You're trying to save stuff, and it's not even going to where it used to go to before, and it's pretty much impossible to try and find where it used to go to before. All the Skype settings are messed up, the sound mixing settings are messed up, we're just going to improve your computer. It's going to be a big improvement for you. And yeah,
this is the guy who wants to eliminate the population in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you can understand that sort of mentality. Well, let's carry on with this. We're just going to have to try and muddle through it, I think, Dennis. Maybe try and speak a little bit slower. Maybe that might help.
Okay.
And the next bit was the next idea that this guy comes up with is that fascism was dreamt up by Mussolini's Jewish girlfriend. And
well, that's a laugh when I read that first.
I thought it's not even worth looking into. That is so ludicrous.
So anyway, go on. Sorry.
Well, I just thought it was so ridiculous. It's not worth looking into. But you had a look into it, didn't you? Into who his girlfriend was.
Well, to be fair, you know, I'm just checking him out. I mean, let's be honest. He's made a statement. Yeah. It's one of several girlfriends. What Mussolini had. He had quite a large appetite. Was married. Had five kids all the time. Margarita Sarfati was a Jew. She married to a Jewish lawyer. He died, but she was also converted to Catholicism in 28, when she was 48 years old, and in 28. She never really had any interest in, apparently anyway, in the Jewish religion. And she was, I suppose she was into art and all this kind of thing. You know, she was probably a bit more intelligent than the average girlfriend, I suppose. I fail to see where she invented fascism. I really do.
Well, and she was Catholic, I guess, by religious standards as well. So he must.
Well, in 48, in 28 she was. 48 she was at the time.
Because another one of his accusations that he makes is that Goebbels' wife was Jewish as well. He says that Goebbels' wife was Jewish, and I looked into that, and. Goebbels' wife was adopted. Her mother had a Gentile husband and had Goebbels' wife by the Gentile husband. And then the mother married a second husband, and the second husband was actually Jewish. And he adopted Magda, basically. And so this author is saying that she was Jewish, but it looks to me like she was just adopted. And then I think in 2016 they found some documents or other that tried to say that the second husband was really the father. But you know, you can't come out with documents, you know, 70 years, 100 years later,
the gold and all sorts.
Yeah, 100 years later, and say, oh well, this is really what went on.
We just stumbled on it.
Yeah, because nobody's here to argue against it, so you can't really include that. Exactly. So, you know, we're just going to have to say that, well, no, she wasn't Jewish. She was Gentile. Goebbels thought she was Gentile, and you know that's the point, really, because this author's trying to say, well, Goebbels was a big fan of the Jews, so much so that he married a Jewish woman. But if he never thought she was Jewish anyway, then you know his argument falls down, doesn't it?
Oh, well, exactly. I mean, I suppose he's promoting the supporting the Jews, bringing this big way, but he's kind of using it, against, you know, he's saying the Germans are marrying Jews, which is a bad thing. He wants to make his mind, don't they?
Well, the next bit, he mentions Seth Dietrich, who, and he says that Seth Dietrich, who was part of the SS, he was a communist in in 1918. And his logic is that because he was a communist in 1918, he must have been a communist all the way through. In fact, that's his logic for all of it, isn't it? It's like, because they had something to do with communism before, they must have been communists all the way through. But there were 6 million communists in Germany at the time. And yet National Socialism managed to win the majority of them over, and they became staunch National Socialists once they realised the truth. So there was probably a lot of people that were originally communists that then realised that they were following a false doctrine and became National Socialists. So that one doesn't really stand up.
Yeah. But you've got to also remember as well, the Social Democrats were communists in sheep's clothing. Hitler always said this, because that's the reason, you know, Berlin went like it was. The Weimar government was, you know, a communist government in disguise, if you like, because everything, you know, was so liberal that people flocked to Berlin, you remember.
Yeah, and I'm still getting distracted by all these clipping noises. Can you thump on the floor or something? Check that nobody else is using the internet at your house or something.
No, well, there's nobody else in the house.
Right, well, it's got to be something, some technical issue then, isn't it? Yeah, some ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it is the Mossad. They've censored your video from YouTube, and now they're going to mess up with our broadcast tonight. Well, is the next point he brings up is the 25 principles of National Socialism, and he calls them Marxist. The Marxist 25 principles of National Socialism. Now, what's Marxist about them? I had a look through and I couldn't find anything remotely Marxist about them.
Well, I can't remember all of them. From what I can remember, there weren't any Marxism in it. Well, there wasn't me, was there? I mean, because the guy's talking through his hat.
Well, it talks basically that what's central to it is that if you're going to be a citizen of a state, you have to be of the same shared ethnicity. If you're going to have a government, that government has to be made up of the ethnicity of the people that it's governing. And only those people have a right to have a say in the state and to partake in the laws and the direction of it. So it's all based on ethnicity. It's all based on nationalism. Not internationalism. Communism is all based on, and Marxism is all based on internationalism. So that's opposite right from the very start. And you think Marxism is all about shared property, and there's nothing in there about the abolishing private property.
And that's, what grants me is, when I do a documentary or a video, I've got to supply sources. But he's coming out with statements, Goebbels admired Lenin. Well, please tell me where he said it.
Well, I thought that one might have been a truthful one. I mean, he may have said Lenin was a good revolutionary. I mean, they pulled a revolution off. But it would have only been said in that sense. It would have only been said in that sense. It wouldn't have been said in
a stretch. Exactly.
Ideology. Yeah. But, I mean, these other ones, they're just...
Well, that's what he's thinking.
These other ones are just totally implausible. Oh, I did find one. I found one that I thought was possibly correct. He says Strasser was a socialist. But I think he says far-left socialist. He wasn't far-left. The whole video is just, it's just like that. It just makes these statements that there's nothing to back them up. Like you say, there's no footnotes, no links, no, well, I got this from here or I got this from there. He just states it, and it's the opposite of what the facts are. And
comments are all the trolls all gathering together and agreeing with what he's saying, you know, with no evidence.
Well, it's just because they like what he's saying.
Yeah.
They like what he's saying. They want to be anti-national socialist because it's easy, because it conforms. They get a pat on the back from society for being so. So
I might put a video under a pseudonym name. And do something similar, just to see what reaction I get.
Yeah, that would be funny. Well, we've got the next one. I mean, we don't need to go into any more of that video. I mean, it really is. Well, it's not really worth watching, but it's worth debunking because that's the sort of level of anti-national socialist propaganda that there is out there. I mean, we did that one the other week as well. That was.
Yes, it's good to take it. I mean, that book that you narrated, Communism in Germany kind of sums up everything that went on before Hitler got to power, the involvement in the murders, and then the tourists came into Germany, were building up and then escaped into Poland again. So if anybody wants to know the real truth about what happened to Germany after World War One and before Hitler, you know, or yourself, as you've narrated it, will help solve all the problems.
Yeah, just read Communism in Germany. Well, next we got a commenter at the Truthful Out website, and they said, "Hi Dennis, if Nazis were enemies of secret societies, how do you explain that even behind the Nazi Party, there was the Thule Society and prominent occultists?" So what would you say to that? I mean, we've covered this one lots of times about the Thule Society, but...
Well, the thing is, like he says, if Nazis were enemies of secret societies, as if there's any doubt, means he smashed to pulp everyone he came across in Europe. So, you know, he's tired in a weird way. But anyway, he goes, how do you explain that even beyond the Nazi Party was a thought? Well, whatever. I said, actually, I tried to repost for the JavaScript, wouldn't allow me to answer. So what I was going to say was, you know, if you checked his history, I mean, Hitler, as soon as he became any notable power in that party, said there's no room for the occult societies and the Thule. And within 5 minutes, there was no Thule or occult societies in the party because Hitler said so. So that one solves. And I'm not convinced that was a really an occult society as what we think is a cult anyway. But anyway, the next thing he mentions the Nazi uniforms.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. Let's just get into this society. I mean, that was a society, and apparently some of the people that were in the top rungs of National Socialism, they might have attended a meeting. They might have been invited along as honorary guests at a meeting, but they weren't actually members of it. They were just guests at a meeting. And it started off as a historical society. I was just looking into the history of the Germans and the ethnicity and the folklore. And that's all it was. And it's been blown up since then to try and make it out as if it was a secret occult society that was secretly controlling the Nazis. Yeah, and it's nonsense. It's all been debunked. Yeah, and the next part of his question, he says, furthermore, Nazi uniforms sport the same crosses that Freemasons wear, the Teutonic Knight's Cross and the Maltese Cross, powerful secret societies that have nothing to envy in Freemasonry. So what are your views on the iconography that they used in the uniforms, Dennis? Okay, we should be back. I don't know if that's going to be any better, and I really do apologise about all these sound problems that we're having here. Yeah, Dennis, I was asking you about the Nazi uniforms and the crosses that they wear, the Teutonic Knight's Cross and the Maltese Cross. So how do you square that with them being against the Freemasons if they were using crosses that Freemasons use?
Well, I'm not convinced they were, to be honest, but certainly they used the Skull and Bones. I mean, but that had nothing to do with the Bush Skull and Bones. That was originated with Frederick, one of the leaders of the old Roman Empire, and that was just a symbol of soldiers wearing since then, you know, they're not scared of Dane. You know, the Air Force of Germany in World War One, in particular, you know, the pilots wore that so much. So, you know, lots of things have been twisted. But he goes on about, you know, these other societies as though secret societies belong to Freemasons only. I mean, you know, if he's talking about societies, what, like the Teutonic Knights, he said they were secret societies. Well, what they were an exclusive club of warrior priests who, for centuries, fought heretics, Protestants, Jews, Freemasons, whoever tried to go into Europe and either destroy Christianity or attack the Catholic Church. And another one of them groups as well is the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus was suffered during the Mexican Revolution when Freemasonry was doing its business. So, you know, okay, these places may have been infiltrated since, I've no doubt, probably have, but, you know, at the end of the day, These were against the forces of what I call evil.
Well, I think these crosses that they use, they go back a lot further than being used by the Teutonic Knights or the Maltese cross. They go back a lot further than those people actually using them. The cross goes back thousands of years. It goes back to pre-Christianity. I mean, they were used before the Knights of St. John got hold of them, or the Templars got hold of them. It's like the Templars cross. I mean, I think they used a red one on a white background, and that's the cross of St. George. And you've got the iron cross, which is it's actually a pyramid that's been unfolded. Basically, if you're looking at a pyramid from the top and you unfold it, then you've got the iron cross there.
Yeah.
So these symbols actually predate the secret societies using them. And I think that's more in line with what they were showing, is that there was a continuity in history, and that these were it's a Christian army, and they wanted God's blessing, so they would use the cross, and they would use the cross that had been used in the heraldry of the German Empire, which went back before the Knights of St. John, before the Templars, because we've also got all this heraldry that uses the crosses as well. So I think...
It's like saying the swastika's pagan, a sweeping statement, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the swastika predates Christianity, but it's used in Christianity as a Christian symbol because it's a cross. So the Christianity was like the evolution of that symbol of the cross. They continued to use it.
Correct.
To show that there was a continuity. There was something else that I was just going to bring up there as well about these. The skull and bones. Don't forget, I mean, these were people fighting in a war. They're not going to be using flowers and doves of peace. They want to be using something that says we're hardcore. So the death's head was to use. So these are the top crack squad of fighters that we have.
To bring fear.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's only to instill fear in the enemy. It's not to instill fear in the people that they're actually fighting to protect. I mean, if you've got somebody defending you, you want them to be as fierce and as monstrous as possible to your enemies. You don't want them to appear all weak and, you know, weak-kneed and lily-livered. You want something like the skull and crossbones. You want something fierce. So it's like the dragon, the use of the dragon. People say, well, the dragon's satanic. Well, no, that dragon is there as a fierce defender. It's like the fierce defender of the Welsh people, or the white dragon, the fierce defender of the Anglo-Saxons. It's not satanic.
For a long time, I argued on YouTube for a long time about Freemasonry and Hitler. And it was only until I went onto that occult German site, which listed all the lodges to be closed. I mean, it was like, this is the moment. That since then, you know, very few people even bring it up. But once over on YouTube, he was an out-and-out Freemason.
Which one was that was a Freemason?
No, they were saying Hitler was a Freemason on YouTube for a long time.
Right.
And I was arguing that point until I got this list of lodges that he closed, occult and Freemason lodges. Up to that moment, and I put it in the documentary Communism by the Back Door as well, but a separate video for YouTube, that people actually dawned on them that Hitler did destroy lodges.
Right, he destroyed lodges, the occult. I mean, he was totally against it. I mean, we've used all these quotes where he was mocking it and mocking the idea of starting a new religion, mocking the idea of a pagan religion, all of it. All these things just get projected on him now to make him look bad, really. And some people have latched onto it because they think that what Hollywood makes look bad, it's got to be cool. That's why you got people that think, you know, National Socialism was Satanism, and they think Satanism has something to do with it, or they think or they think the Black Sun is a symbol of wickedness or a symbol of evil, and all these ideas come from black propaganda that was used against the National Socialists. They tried to make them out to be, you know, as if they wanted to get rid of Christianity altogether, like we were discussing last week, and how that was put out by the OSS, the Psych War Division, the first real black propaganda that was put out just to make everybody against the enemy, basically.
I mean, most of Europe now talks of group teenagers anywhere in Europe, and I'll say, who do you believe most? Is there a god, or do you believe in aliens? And they'll say aliens. They'll say aliens for a reason.
Well, that's been promoted by the UN, isn't it? All those grey aliens, flying saucers, all that sort of stuff. They'll think, oh yeah, I believe in that, but not God. That's not scientific. It's all just fantasy. What people forget is, you know, the Bible itself is eyewitness accounts. It was written by eyewitnesses, and there wasn't somebody also writing at the time saying, well, that didn't happen. I mean, if what they were writing didn't happen, it wouldn't have been written down. It wouldn't have been accepted. It wouldn't have been put down as a testament, as being the truth. That's why when people try to discredit it today, you think, well, you can't try and discredit it today. What you can do is look at attempts to discredit it when it was written. But since there weren't any, that shows you that it was uncontested. It was accepted.
Well, Michael Jones. Michael Jones was asked on a tour, I think, of India, can you prove there's a God? And he said, yeah. And he actually said, before there was nothing, there was nothing. Which means there has to be something to create the world, because before there's nothing, there was nothing. If you get what I'm saying, there has to have been some kind of being which was capable of creating something, because otherwise there was nothing, and there'd still be nothing.
Well, also, but also the concept of nothing didn't actually exist mathematically until, I think, the 6th century, something like that.
Right.
And yet, you know, it's there in the Bible. It talks about nothing. So that, again, that shows you that it was divine revelation. It wasn't people sitting around talking and philosophizing like the Greeks did. It was divine revelation. It had to have been divine revelation, because it was talking about things that we didn't have a concept for it until thousands of years later. So it could only be divine revelation. That was the difference between it and the other religions. So let's getting back to these comments here. The next one we've got is from somebody called H2, and they're talking about the white books. And they say, "Hi, Dennis, what are the white books and the blue books? What is the difference between them?" So do you want to just take that one first? What's the difference between the white book and the blue book, and what are they?
Interesting. I mean, what these books are, the coloured books, which countries are denominated a colour. Germany was white, Britain was blue, I think France was green. And so in a build-up to war, all the documents and phone calls and meetings and everything are all officially documented. And so if it does turn into a war, then there's evidence of who and why, who started it and why started. The British invented it in the, I think, 16th or 1700s. Now, I don't know why they invented it. I don't think it was meant to be what it was really meant to be, because come World War One, they actually released the white paper, the blue paper, which the blue book, should I say, on World War One, which historians and the public really took to. But over a matter of time, people were picking away at it, like, it all fell apart, because a lot of it was covered up by, you know, excuses of you know, secrets, state secrets, and it just seemed a way of you know, perverting the way the things went. And so after World War One, you know, that particular book was just laughed at. But in World War Two, it was the Germans who did the 400 pages, and the British did the 100 pages, because they didn't start till long after the refugees turned up on the border of Poland. But in the German book, it notes all the details, and even you know, the medical inquiries of the bodies they found in Poland of the German immigrants, because the war only lasted 28 days, and these bodies have been, you know, decomposing for, you know, a lot longer than that, months even. So they are quite useful if they're used correctly. But again, Britain banned the German boot, the white boot, in the USA, which was illegal. And obviously the USA wouldn't have been put up any resistance to that one. So they were trying to, you know, cover up a lot of the truth there and then, but eventually, you know, like we said, we managed to find out in Poland. They did manage to get all the papers in Warsaw before they were destroyed. They were denied by the Americans and everybody else. But after the war, suddenly, you know, people, the Polish ambassadors, etc., people who knew that they were authentic, not just copies neither, they were the original papers. And so Roosevelt, as it seems, was the culprit. And that was only found out, you know, through Germans keeping a white book.
So they had before the war, they would collect all the documents together, make sure they kept them all, and then at the end of the war, it would be presented, and that would explain who was to blame or why the war started, all of that. And the difference was that the White Book wasn't allowed, and of course, that was all the defence that they would have relied upon in the Nuremberg trials, but they weren't allowed to use it. Strangely enough, for the second part of his question, Dennis,
the peace treaties, what Germany offered, I don't think they were ever mentioned either to the public.
No, they weren't. They weren't. The second part of his question, he says, these books, are they something that every country or just big countries have copies of? All government affairs, letters, documents, and such. Is it an official or unofficial documentation of the country's doings?
Well, it is official, but I'm not sure, I've got to be honest, whether every country employs that strategy. The big countries do, obviously, but you'll save every minor country as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, because you'd like to see what Iraq's White Book was, or Libya's Green Book, you know, or the Syria books, and see what they had to say there. And the third part...
That would be interesting.
The third part, he says, I just watched this one. I see now you have a correct version made in your shared link. What was corrected? Do I need to watch it all again? Is there much difference?
Well, there are two versions, if I can remember. One is there... which is easily done, by the way, when you're making people who make videos will assure you this. I missed a question mark right at the beginning. And right at the end, if you can remember, we were talking, I can't remember the word now, right, but I actually used the word which was originally used in the documents. And you were one of the people who pulled me up on it, saying it's not used anymore. And when I put it up, quite a few said, you know, spell a state right at the end, what's going on, blah, 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 blah. So I changed that just for the sake of people, you know, understanding that, you know, the word I used was an updated word.
So is it just a typo? I think the word might have been warranty or something similar.
No, guarantee.
Guarantee or warranty.
Guarantee, and I did replace it with guarantee, but in the documents it actually said guarantee.
Ah, yeah, guarantee. I remember. So it's just a typo, so it's not really worth
That won't really happen, really. Well, I don't think it will. I just printed what it said.
Well, the next bit comes from a curious gentleman. He says, Dennis, what do you think of Operation Paperclip? Plenty of people that bring it up usually use it as an excuse to say something silly along the lines of Nazis run America and the world. So what do you think of Operation Paperclip? Did it happen, and what was it really about?
Yeah, it happened. I mean, I think Alex Jones was one of the main pushers of this. This is his way of turning everything onto the Nazis run the world. He said this for a number of years. And what it basically was the plundering of Germany. I mean, I think it was like 1,500 tons of documents that America plundered. That's not counting us and France and the Soviets. And meanwhile, they were plundering the scientists. Well, they give scientists the option, you know, do you want to come to California with your family, bring all your family over and help us, you know, decipher these rockets and build some more? do you want to stay in Germany, which is now totally wrecked, and wait for Stalin to come over and knock on your door and, you know, you'll be on your train to Moscow, no doubt. Or, you know, really, it's a no-brainer because if you stay in Germany anyway, you know, there's nothing really worthwhile. So, picked up the family and they went to California. And the Beverly Hillbillies.
So they would have ended up just being taken by the communists if they weren't taken by the Americans.
Well, I think because the communists in disguise anyway, but beside the point, I think, they certainly had a better life at that time in America because, you know, it wasn't full on Soviet communism, just the bankers.
Well, they certainly weren't able to export National Socialist ideology. It was just purely the science, wasn't it? Just the science.
They come working for us now, and, you know, although the Jews weren't happy, obviously, because they looked on von Braun, for instance, as a war criminal, said he used slave labour and numerous other things, but obviously some, you know, priorities are above us.
Well, it's like...
finding out how a rocket works, for instance.
It's like after the war, first off, they tried to just wipe out Germany entirely, and then they realised that they needed to use the Germans as a bulwark against the communists. So they turned around and started feeding them and helping them. And it was before that happened, really. They must have been quite forward-thinking and thinking, well, hang on a minute, you know, we're going to need these guys because we can see that we're going to be having trouble with Stalin.
I think... Rather, well, Stalin did turn, granted, but I think more would have killed 15 million Germans now after the war. If any more, people might get suspicious, so we'll just slow down a little bit and continue killing my race nice and slow, where people know it. That's my version anyway.
Because a lot of the people that eventually, the people that were with the National Socialists, they didn't actually give them the death sentence. They brought them back in again because they did need them to help rebuild Germany. I was talking with Carolyn Jaeger the other day about a book that had been released that was showing that. And it was trying to say that, what an irony that the modern democratic Germany was actually built with the enemies of Germany, meaning that it was built with a significant amount of help from the original people that had been National Socialists because they needed them. Yeah. To build up Germany against the communists, to beat the communists. So thankfully, some of them were actually saved. And I think this was a book written by a Jew that was saying how terrible it was and they should have all really been executed. But they weren't. So that's like a little bit of good news there. But the next comment is from Bruno Ferreira. He says, "Hello, Dennis, how are you? I'm searching about Himmler and other Nazis, and I just found that a ton of members of the party had strong relations with the Holy Church. Himmler's mother was a true devoted woman, and his father too. I'm still searching. I'm here to ask you, is it possible for you to make an exclusive video telling some facts about the Axis countries and their relations with the Vatican?" And I'm just thinking, I mean, the whole of the new series or a large part of it has showing that. So I'm guessing what he wants is one short 15-minute video condensing the best bits of that and showing clips. Yeah. So, I mean, that might be a good idea. I think it'd be a good idea.
I think so. Yeah, well, I think I've done it in such a way that I could do that, if I remember rightly, because there's like a couple of two or three sections in the whole documentary where I mention all this, and it wouldn't be that difficult to join them all together. I think I did that intentionally.
And you could just make the link the Vatican, rather than it concentrating on different countries, you could concentrate on the Vatican and the relationship between each one of these countries and the Vatican and the links, and especially with that Concordat. Because they had I mean, we learned they had one of them with every country, didn't they? Not just Germany.
Exactly, yeah. And you won't learn that in your history books.
Yeah, the first one was with Italy, wasn't it?
With Mussolini. Italy, Belgium, you know, De Grel, I think Spain, myself. But we're incapable of fighting in World War II. And Germany, obviously, had one. There were a number, but obviously, they weren't all Catholic nations. They were Christian, but not Catholic. So, you know, the Catholic ones, certainly. But I'm pretty sure Croatia would have. They were adamantly Catholic there and there.
there were two nations, I think, that weren't Catholic, or two leaders that were Protestant, and all the rest were Catholic, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they're Christian, so, I mean, Hitler's not going to impose anybody Catholic on a country what's north of it. Protestant, as long as they're Christian, and, I mean, he ran a priest in one of them. He got hungry at the end of the war. Was that in Latvia? Lithuania? But I think John Amory mentioned it. So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is like I said, there's a piece in there what shows Hitler, and I don't really want to talk about that part now. You know, the bit with Goebbels, you know, meeting all the church, Vatican people.
Yeah, talk about that now. That's part of the new video that's going to be up in the next 24 yeah. hours, is it? Yeah, you just tell us about that, because someone was saying in the chat room that you've been posting images of Goebbels and various priests.
Yeah.
So what's all that been about?
Well, basically what it is, like, I found a lecture. I didn't name it because obviously, you know, YouTube could have been on the hunt to give us a copyright strike. So, I mean, I just let him talk, and he talked about sensibly, really. And while he was talking over the top of what he was saying, I was introducing these pictures where I found someone had seen before, someone hadn't, of Hitler and Goebbels greeting and, you know, being at meetings at the Vatican, because we are talking the Holy Roman Empire. What the guy's saying is that Hitler has now done in 1941 what no other person in history has ever done, not Napoleon, not Caesar. Because in that, since war was declared on him in 39, that short space of time, he claimed all Europe back from where it were in World War One. After World War One, obviously the Rothschild bankers rules Europe. And he's took it all back in 2 years. And even the countries what were invaded, we're already pro-Nazi anyway. You know, he mentioned Sweden was sending iron ore with, you know, not even with interest added. Spain and Portugal were all for Hitler anyway. So, unbelievably, what he was saying was quite true. He'd done remarkably in that short space of time to overturn, especially France, because in the First World War, they only got 70 miles in that war, where they took France in 6 weeks. So the whole lot of Europe was back under Christianity and nationalism, and he only lost less than 100,000 men. Now, while this guy is speaking about this, I've got the pictures of Hitler and Goebbels meeting these church people, not annihilating them, but actually looking like long-lost friends. And obviously they would be, because he's got the Holy Roman Empire back. And if it weren't for the external forces of Bolshevism and the Americans landing, it would still be that way today.
So it was reinvigorating Christendom, re-winning yeah. Christendom back.
Replaced all the leaders with Christians.
And you think, well, and that was the outcome of the war, and that wasn't planned for. It was a war that was prosecuted against Hitler, but it ended up having benefits for the church. So that's what you're saying. It had a knock-on benefit for the church. So it must have seemed like God and Providence were with Hitler as well. Yeah. So, you know, it really made sense for them to be supporting him, because he'd got back everything that they wanted.
After the Concordat, he's done everything that he said he'd try and do without actually announcing the Holy Roman Empire. But I'm quite sure if it had gone on, you know, stayed stable for so long, it would have been announced. It's just more evidence. I mean, the fact that he put Christian leaders, replaced all the Rothschild people with Christian leaders, like he had in Germany, that it's the agenda's there, and people can deny it if they want. Facts speak different.
But originally, it was just about winning back the lands that Germany had lost from the Versailles Treaty. It was just a question of getting back the German-speaking lands and getting them back as part of Germany again. And then because of this war that they were forced to prosecute, he ended up winning back a lot more countries for the church. So it must have really seemed like the church was, it was a lucky day for the church. The best time it's had for a long time.
Yeah, but I think they anticipated a war. I do think that they knew a war would come at some point. I don't think Hitler felt he was ready for a war. Yeah, I don't think he wanted war, but certainly, you know, he was trying to keep peace going for as long as he could. But I think he did anticipate a war at some stage. I don't think, you know, he could have thought anything else with the way usually Jews, you know, international Jewry works. I mean, that usually from Europe. If he's took every country in Europe now, that's a lot of money that Jews are losing in usury and influence. So, you know, I'm pretty sure he felt there was. Where we're going to come from, east or west, or both, I don't know. But he certainly suspected the east.
Well, they certainly weren't ready for a war, were they? I mean, they still had soldiers on horseback, horse-drawn carriages. And yet within a few years...
Well, 100,000... Yeah, 100,000 army after Versailles. That ain't going to go far, is it? Because he lost that in that time anyway. So, he asked the countries to actually wind down the weapons. He would do, you know what I mean? But when they all said no, in fact, some increased. He's not left them any options, is it?
No, he was continually suggesting that they scale back on the weaponry, and Britain was just keen on rearming and saying that this was all a scam, and that saying that this was all a scam and Hitler didn't really mean it. Well, the next comment that we've got here is from Alexis LFA, and he says, "Hey Dennis, see if you can research about Maria Orsic and the Vril Society. Have you looked into that before?"
Well, certain aspects of the bill I've glanced over, but obviously I've been trying to concentrate on this. We're getting so much, making so much ground on the Christian side that a lot of the other side, like I did, you know, purposely ignore. And one of the reasons was, I mean, I met a guy once who talked about the bill and the advanced technology that Germany had, and he believed was alien. And I don't doubt that he believed it. I mean, it was such to a point where he was apparently was part of an SAS team what went into the Middle East after the war to regain a couple of discs, what he said the Germans had. But they needed, I think there was 5 discs. The Allies had 3, the Germans had 2, the memory served me well. And they went in, killed everybody in the room, a group of SAS. And then they came out, handed the discs over, and, you know, if they've had all the discs, apparently, they could work out the power of the bell, he was saying. But he said they could only get to a point where they could get an aircraft off the ground, like a flying saucer, just hovering, but not the complete thing without a set of discs. Now, I didn't take it any further because it was starting to affect what I was trying to do on the other side. And like I said, I was making so much ground on the other side that I didn't want to be distracted. But there are people who believe that, you know, there was alien technology, whether it was handed or found, I don't know. I may look into a proper one there, but as far as I'm aware, you know, they did have flying saucers. I have seen the footage of it looks authentic, of planes which are airplanes which wouldn't look out of place today with the stealth, etc. But the German scientists were advanced. So, you know, it's a bit of a mystery at the moment. I can't say either way. I'm only being honest. But as it stands at the moment, I think Nietzsche, was it Nietzsche? No, not Nietzsche, an inventor was involved in the brilliant with energy. I think he got stripped of all his patents as well when he went to America. Can't remember his name now. Surprise, surprise.
There's a lot of fringe sort of conspiracy theories associated with National Socialism and World War II, isn't there? There's the Hollow Earth theory, Antarctica, bases on Antarctica, yeah. UFOs, and, you know, and you tend to get asked about them a lot. And, you know, I think it's a good idea that you don't really get too involved in them because, you know, it's like this... like the Thule Society, you know, you get asked about that all the time. The Thule Society and Vril energy and flying saucers and all of this. It's not, you know.
I mean, I didn't want to involve any of that in the first documentary. There were enough factual facts in that first one for people to absorb anyway. So, you know.
You want to keep it believable. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, there isn't things that happen that, you know, we might find unbelievable, but. If you want to make propaganda that's going to work, it needs to be plausible and it needs to be truthful. People need to be able to check it out. Thanks. And if you start talking about extraterrestrials and, you know, magic forces and flying saucers, people are, it's going to discredit the rest of your work. I think that's a problem with it. I mean, fine to have it as a bit of a hobby and look into it, but not to take it too seriously.
No, certainly. Yeah, well, that, like I said, I mean, I didn't want it to affect the other work. And I was doing betting grounds in what were a barren area at one point. As you remember, I said, I went for weeks and I could feel something was coming, and then all of a sudden, floodgates opened with the right Concordat and everything else, and the whole Roman Empire. And so, you know, I believe I made the right choice.
So we got the new video coming out within the next 24 hours or so, and it's going to have Goebbels at the Vatican. What else is this going to be covered in it, Dennis?
Well, I've got William Fink explaining, because because Hitler and the National Social Leadership did believe that Jesus wasn't a Jew, and so William Fink does really, really well to explain why. He doesn't think he's a Jew, which would have been similar, obviously, to the German view. And also, there's a little piece from my mate, Mr. Friedman, who explains the Jewish corruption, the words of the Jewish corrupted word from the 13th to the 17th, 18th century. And eventually they used the spelling J-E-W because there was no J in Latin. So before then there was a host of corrupted names, and they settled on Jew in the 18th century, which fell nicely with the covenant of Judah and Judea. The link there, the Jews have used to say they're the chosen people. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be sort of following the script that we went over a couple of weeks back. Is it?
Correct.
Did you use that same script, or did you alter bits of it?
Well, there's bits I altered. I mean, I used for an example of the corruption of using Jew instead of Judea, and that was in the insignia above the cross, which is not Jesus King of Jews. It is Jesus of Nazarene, leader of the Judeans. That is a proper translation, but if it's ever to be corrected, then you've got to correct all the other times that Judah and Judea has been replaced by the word Jew. And that would cause immeasurable conflict with history and the Bible and everything else. So any chance of that being corrected obviously went when Germany were defeated. So there's never going to be any more chance unless something else happens.
Amazing, just how much can be changed just through a mistranslation of one word, and there's mistranslation of loads of words in the Bible, thanks to Jews being involved in the translation. All right, Dennis. So,
Printers and Publicans, yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next week with more Truth Pull Out Radio for you, and of course, we do hope you have a great weekend ahead of you.